It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 320, entitled Singing, Weirdness, and the Week Where Nothing Happened. It was recorded on Monday the 13th of January, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I'll be joined by three fabulous people. The first one is my co-host for this week, it's Michelle Frechette, but we're also joined by Tim Nash and Corey Mass. What are we going to talk about? Well, firstly, Tim gets me to sing. It's most humiliating. I would scan forward in this episode to avoid that if I were you. Then we get into a whole load of other things about New Year's resolutions and whether we make them or not. Then we're on to the WordPress news, and there's a lot of it, some of it fairly difficult to cover. We talk about Automattic and it reining in its sponsoring and contributions to WordPress.org. We talk about the shutdown of the sustainability team, the fact that Patchstack have been rejected for their sponsorship of WordCamp Europe this year. And then we talk a little bit about accessibility and weird designs out there in the WordPress ecosystem. The WP Community Collective announces its formal non-profit incorporation. We talk about the hosting and theme teams, as well as the team who are going to be leading 6.8 in the days and weeks to come. WordPress.com now has sync with Studio. There's a block theme development course by Elliot Richmond. There's a new plugin called Edge Images. And Progress Planner has a new pro version as well. There's a whole lot more at the end about security and all of the data breaches that happened towards the end of 2024. And it's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WP Builds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by OmniSend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that OmniSend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try OmniSend today at omnisend.com. Hello. Hello, hello, hello. Happy New Year. It is well into almost the second week of the new year, but we haven't done a This Week in WordPress since 2025 arrived. So happy New Year. It is episode number 320 of This Week in WordPress, and nothing has happened since we were last on the air. There's literally nothing to talk about. So thank you. Yeah, we'll see you next week on This Week in WordPress. Bye-bye. No, there's plenty to talk about. And as always, joined by a very fine panel. Firstly, let's go through the, let's go around the houses. Firstly, over there, Michelle Frechette is co-hosting today. How are you doing, Michelle?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good. Yeah, Corey, it's not as easy as you think, is it?
Yeah. Just well, we've discovered the mirroring.
That away.
Yeah, you got it easy, Tim. You got it easy. Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. How are you? How was your New Year Christmassy things?
Yeah, everything was great. I've put together probably 6 Lego sets.
Oh, is that the thing? Yeah, every year Lego. Okay.
Well, only because people have discovered I like it. So I received quite a few gifts. Yeah.
Yeah. There's always gifts which come out, and Lego was one of them until my children finally said, can we stop with the Lego a couple of years ago? And sad, a tear in my eye. We no longer do the Lego. But anyway, here we go.
Nothing's stopping you, Nathan.
Yeah, I know. Let's do Michelle's bio. Here we go. Michelle Frechette is the Director of Community Engagement for Stella WP at Liquid Web. In addition to the work there, Michelle is the podcast barista at WP Coffee Talk, co-founder of Underrepresented in Tech, also the creator of WP Speakers, WP Career Pages, the executive director of Post Status, and she also co-hosts the WP Motivate podcast. She's also an author, frequent organizer and speaker at WordPress events, and lives outside Rochester, New York, where she is keen to take photographs of nature. If you want to sum it all up, you can go to this website, meetmichelle.online, and you can find out everything there. Thank you very much.
Adding one more thing, but we're going to talk about that a little bit later.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll chuck that in as well. And let's go clockwise. I think that was clockwise. That's I don't know. Anyway, that way, we're going to go to Tim next. How are you doing, Tim?
I can do that one easy, too.
Yeah. Oh, Corey's got it. Corey has got the memo now.
I had to think about it, though.
Yeah, point the wrong way. Yeah, what I tend to do is I just point the finger a tiny bit and then the other way.
I came up real slow.
Yeah. Tower of Michelle's, I was there going, no, if I could just put like...
Well, look at that. Tim is joining us from a snowy West Yorkshire. It's lovely out there. That's very nice.
Well, it was. We've been snowed in for the last week. So on the plus side, it's very beautiful. On the downside, you know that point where the Christmas break is over and you're like, right, child, you're going to school today. Oh, thank God. you're not.
Oh, you're snowed in. Dear Canadians, when the UK people get snowed in, it's because there is snow. Like, the mere hint of snow is all it takes.
So, if you must live in the northern United States like me and Corey, how much snow does it take to snow you in? Because here it's about 4 feet of snow, and it only gets like...
It is not.
About 3.5 come down over the last...
Okay.
Over the Christmas
feet
period.
Or inches?
At feet.
Oh, that's a lot. Okay.
But to be fair, it's not been there. The general, lots of snow is dead easy. You know, lots of snow, snow plows.
Yeah.
Easy solution. It's been a combination of snow plus ice plus idiots.
Yeah. Yeah.
This combination is what has kept it fresh.
I like that. That's something really is, well.
The ice is the hard part. The idiots makes it just that cream on top.
Snow plus ice plus idiots. That could be the episode.
There are only idiots in the winter.
And obviously, you've got to go slightly up the hill, bend on the hill, and come slightly down. So where did the person park their car? Right on the edge coming down. I went past it the other day, and it's just dent. It must have been hit a half a dozen times.
I'll tell you what the problem as well, Michelle, is because snow is now a thing that's not really a feature of our lives in the UK. When I was a kid, it really was reliably going to snow every year, but now it's not. So I think the investment from a government point of view, it must be one of those decisions like, is it worth it? Is it not worth it? Is it worth? So there's no investment for that kind of infrastructure. So when it does happen, everything falls to pieces. But they'd get accused of wasting money if they spent it and we had a summer where there was no snow. So... there you go. That's my political analysis for the whole 2025.
Did you just say summer with no snow?
What's that?
You just said summer with no snow.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have no. I'm not well. Let Tim do his bio because there's no way that I'm doing this. Tim, what am I even going to introduce this, or are you just going to do it?
No, well, the whole idea is that you're meant to do it.
No, there's no way I'm singing.
Here's the funny bit.
Right, okay.
You sing and do silly things.
Okay, I will do it, but I want everybody
to dance on your show, Nathan.
All right, I'm sucking it up. So, Tim wants me to sing his bio in the style of what's that thing called?
A sea shanty. So in the sea, you can go for the Wellerman, which is
Okay, here we go. Right. Apologies to everybody with functioning ears. There once was a man from Yorkshire land who sailed WordPress with a steady hand. Snow comes down, but he's snug inside. Tim Nash. I can't do that bit. TimNash.co.uk. On his online guide, sometimes it gets an update, not nearly often enough. Oh, Tim comes to keep your site safe, secure from hacks. He will do site reviews if you pay him lots of dosh. On WP Builds, he shares insights and makes Nathan sing very silly songs. It is the lowest point of my life.
Not clear.
I did
send him a sound wave with me singing it. We know it's a very bad idea.
Yeah. I think you and I are on an equal footing. No, I am joking. That was a lot of fun. Thank you very much. We like
two things though.
Yeah.
One, and you have a lovely voice, Nathan. But two, don't quit your day job.
No, thank you. You're right. No, I think that's fair. I never was going to be a singer. I'm awfully good at singing in the bath, but I'm also awfully good at receiving horrible comments from all members of the family.
You have a lovely voice.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate it. Well, that was fun. Thank you so much. Corey wants me to do his bio.
How are you going to follow that up?
In the theme of mime. I have to mime it. No, I don't. I'm just going to read Corey's. How are you doing, Corey?
Because it's six letters. Did you notice that as soon as Nathan started singing, we all did this?
Yeah, time.
This is like the body language of like you're covering your mouth and right?
Yeah, it was almost like you were all going to vomit.
All three of us took a sip.
The key though was that did you actually take a sip? Because I just held it up. It was not my mouth and it went wrong. It didn't go.
I did actually take a sip.
Never let it be said that I don't cause vomit. Right, here we go. Corey Mass, founder, creator of OMG, IMG, wearer of Yorkshire t-shirts and a WordPress freelance developer. Look at that. It says Yorkshire. Nearly there, Yorkshire tea. So that means that three of us are kind of adjacent to Yorkshire. I'm in Yorkshire, Tim's in Yorkshire. Corey wants to be in Yorkshire, and there's only Michelle. And she's in
Yorkshire is in my
Yorkshire.
Cup.
Look at you. Anyway, I've got to get to the comments because we've had loads coming in. I really appreciate it. Anybody who's given us a comment, really appreciate that. If you want to do that, by the way, the quickest way to do that is to go here. Go to wpbuilds.com/live. This was the perfect moment for Corey to start pointing, but he missed that cue. Look, yeah, he's smiling. That'll do. Yeah. wpbuilds.com/live. Leave us a comment there. Send your friends, relations, and colleagues over there as well. Okay, here we go. Let's see what we've got. We have Taco joining us. He says, hello. Hello, happy new year from James. Thank you very much. Cammy reached out to me last week when the show wasn't on to say, where the heck's the show? And so here we are, we're back. Routine change. I'm on a walk outside and it's cold in Seattle. Good to see you all. Can't believe you're watching this whilst you're out on a walk. That's incredible. Thank you so much. Influence WP, hello from Charlotte, North Carolina, where it's 33 degrees. In our degrees, that's a really nice Fahrenheit temperature, I'm guessing. In yours, it's not too much. Friendly web design. So this will be Dave. Got myself from my wife a Star Wars AT-ST set for Christmas. Is that not AT-AT? I thought so. My seven-year-old helped me finish it a few days ago. Yeah, I was going to say it was sort of kind of bought for the child, was it, Dave? But it ended up being you going on there. Happy New Year, everybody says. Taco. Tammy Lister's joining us. Good afternoon. We're going to mention your name in a bit and also Taco a bit later. Peach is joining us. I'm maybe in Spain. I'm not entirely sure, but there you go. Your clock is the wrong way. What clock? My clock. I don't have a clock.
When you were going clockwise versus counterclockwise.
Oh, yeah. It was actually the right way, but I think my video is flipped. I'm just sticking with that. Happy New Year, says Marcus from Florida. Patricia's joining us. Thank you very much. Joining Cammy on a walk this morning from thousands of miles away. 12 degrees centigrade. Ah, we dream of 12 degrees centigrade. Over here in the Netherlands, we measure snow in millimeters, centimeters at best, but it rarely ever happens. Yeah, we're mostly like that. I'm quite amazed that Tim has had 3 feet of snow. Gosh, the comments are just coming in really thick and fast. Send help building IKEA. That's great. Send help building IKEA stuff. Snow has finally gone from Aberdeen, Scotland. I bought the most basic IKEA thing about 5 days ago. No. Got it wrong. Like, I was that guy that doesn't read the instructions. Oh, I could see from the first picture what this is supposed to look like. You know, when you get like 10 steps in and then you're almost complete and you go, oh,
this damn is backwards.
Yeah. In this case, all the shit. Anyway, it doesn't matter. that was amazing. I guess you're talking about the singing. You are a good liar. Thank you very much. Shanti made it worth getting up this morning. Oh, AT-ST is the two-legged one. I had one of those. You push the little button at the back and it wasn't Lego. I had the actual toy.
It's harder to say, though, is it? Like,
yeah, AT-ST. Yeah, that's really difficult to say. When I was a kid, I had a Star Wars gun, right? It was about this big, black plastic thing. Star Wars gone. Anyway, the other day, not the other day, it was about 2 years ago, I saw it advertised on eBay for $10,000.
Oh, my.
I know. And I thought, that's a bit cheeky, coming around my house, stealing it and advertising it for $10,000. But anyway, I don't have it anymore. It probably just went in the bin. But there you go. I think that's it. Yeah. Okay. Let's start what we're supposed to be doing, which is talking about WordPressy stuff. So first thing to say is I am going to read out the bits and pieces that I've got this week. I am not going to compel anybody on this show to say anything they don't want to say. So guests, just be very clear right from the outset. You know, don't get involved in stuff that you don't want to get involved with. You know me anyway. I'm not here to put tripwires in your path. But feel free to contribute if you wish to contribute.
Gotcha.
My job. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. My job is just to say the things and see what lands. Okay. Right. Firstly, let's do New Year's resolutions. Got nothing to do with WordPress. Sorry. Got any New Year's resolutions? I'm going to go first. For the 10th year in a row, I'm going to write a book this year. I've been highly successful at it for the previous 9 years. I've written no words at all. But this year is going to be different. I'll tell you why I know it's going to be different, because I signed up for a course on Udemy about how to write a book. Ooh. And that's all it's honestly, it's like prevarication. You know, when you buy the tool because you think the tool is going to make you better at something, it's just no. And I didn't
so
even
the question
get
is, yeah, what kind of book?
Oh, now I couldn't
instructional
possibly reveal that. No, fiction.
Sexy YA.
Children's fiction. I could tell you the plot, but I would have to, you know, I'd have to come around to your house and silence you forever.
Okay. Not for children.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that book is not.
I know where
for
this
children
is going.
I actually just invested in an accessibility coach to make sure that I finished my novel by the end of this year.
Oh,
and it's accessibility or accountability? I think it's
accountability. I meant accountability. Accountability coach.
Yeah.
It will be accessible though.
What happens though? But, what happens if you just go to the accountability coach and just basically say, I haven't done it?
Oh, what, she's going to whip my.
Oh, really? You're going to get in trouble? Okay.
She's also one of my best friends. So she
okay,
will
good
hold my
oh, that's
feet
really
to the flames.
Good.
Yeah.
That's very good. Yeah.
I mean, it's your business too. Don't get me wrong. I'm not just paying some person to.
No, but that's great. I think it's a really good idea. Anyway, that's my New Year's resolution. I know it won't happen already, but that is my resolution. Michelle, have you got any?
What's this time book? I don't have resolutions. I have goals, first of all, because I think a goal is something that's more attainable and a resolution is something you regret not completing. But yeah, I'm excited about that. And you should, if I get selected to speak at WordCamp Europe this year, then you should come to my session because it's about how to turn your blog into a book, which is what I did before. So I do have a book that's been published.
Okay. I like the pivot. Yeah. If I write a successful blog, then I can just turn it into a book. Okay.
Let's talk later.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Tim, any New Year's resolutions or goals?
See, I don't make New Year's resolutions and I try to avoid goals because that way I'll be stuck to them and I'll feel really bad when I fail. So what is better to do is just to wander aimlessly through life and hope that things will work out for the best. And I will continue to do this. I've done this very successfully for many, many years, and I will continue on this path.
It sounds like prevarication to me.
But I would like to say that after this call, I will be moving on to chapter one of my novel.
Really? You're writing a book as well? What the heck?
No. To be fair, I've been trying to write chapter one of my novel for about 44 years.
Okay, so you're like me, only you're much better at prevaricating than I am. Okay, yeah. you are the master. I am just merely the pupil.
Wait, 44 years. What are you, like 65?
Yeah, he started when he was like my age.
Well, I just start very young, obviously.
Corey, anything that you're hoping to do this year?
This is a loaded deck. Okay, so first of all, I dreamt the idea for a kid's book like 6 weeks ago, and it's been sitting at the bottom of my to-do list. So now you're inspiring me that maybe I need to like take the idea and plug it into AI and let it write the book for me. Write a children's book.
I hadn't even thought about that. Do you know
what? How bad will this be when at the end of the year, the only person who hasn't published a book from the fourth panel of four is Nathan.
Honestly, I was just thinking, when we finish this show, you guys should all book on for this first episode in 2026. And we'll ask that same question. And yeah, it'll be
I'll
me.
Be there.
The three of you will all be successful novelists, and I won't have written a blooming word. Did you start writing your novel in nursery, Tim?
I certainly started thinking about it, which is what I was... Let's face it, I haven't started writing the novel. I've only been thinking about it since nursery.
Yeah. Well, okay, but that's good enough. No, I've got a solid idea. I really think it's got legs. I just need to discover what those legs are.
If Tim was there, I need a nappy change, a bottle, and somebody to write down this idea.
And they didn't. That was a problem. And did you know once you put that one good idea and you have to recreate it?
Yeah. Tammy's going to be my accessibility accountability person. She's going to she says she's going to write two. Okay, if I write one, you're going to write two. Oh, that's tempting.
Tammy's already written two.
Oh, well, that's no. We can't have that, Tammy. You've got to go through some drudgery this year. It can't be the stuff you've already written. There's no accountability there at all. Best advice is to make it a habit. I know. Yeah, that's what I should do, is just write a few words each day. That's right. Everybody has a book inside. Gosh, I hope not. We should all write.
I might have two.
Yeah. After all those mince pies over Christmas, I feel like I've got like the works of Shakespeare inside me. There you go. That's today's title, The Works of Shakespeare Inside Me. Right, come on, Wrigley. It's 25 past the hour and you still haven't done anything to do with WordPress at all. But that's why this show is fun. Here we go, wpbuilds.com. This is our URL. You can see that we are brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and OmniSend. Thank you very much to those three companies for keeping the lights on over here. If you want to keep updated with what we do, why not? Put your email in that little box and hit the subscribe button, and we'll send you a couple of emails each week. One to do with this when it's produced. We record it on a Monday, like we're doing now, and then we put it out as a podcast episode tomorrow. So you'd get an email tomorrow. And then you'd also get an episode notification on Thursday when we put the episode out then as well. So why not put your email address in there and join many, many others who get that notification. One thing that we've been doing over the past few months, and we're on episode three of this, is a show with Joe Dolson. Joe is an accessibility expert in the WordPress space. And we've been checking out some sites from the WordPress showcase. And he's been taking them to pieces, if you like, from an accessibility point of view, not with the enterprise of, you know, ridiculing anybody, more like, look, here's what could be improved. And on this episode, number three, Joe looks at navigation menus and how they can sometimes be wins. So he's talking about things that are done well. But then he goes on to subscription forms and like subscribing to a newsletter, for example, and how they can be done badly. Mine didn't come under the microscope. I probably would have failed horribly. But anyway, you can get to that if you go to this archive section on wpbuilds.com, hit the accessibility show archive, and you can see that. We've got episode four coming out in the near future as well. And then kind of attached to that, but not really, because the two weren't together, I did an episode of the Tavern podcast with Elena, I do apologize.
Elena Breskachin.
Yeah, Elena, let's go for the Breskachin. And Elena, thank you, Michelle, by the way, has been blind, 100% blind since birth. And we have a really, honestly, profoundly interesting conversation about what it is like for a person who has never been able to see, how they manage to navigate the web. And it was really interesting, the frustrations caused by me trying to record the podcast episode. So as an example, this platform that we're on now is utterly unusable by somebody who is not sighted. Like everything that could go wrong is wrong. And we tried two or three different platforms, all of them a complete disaster. And then eventually we found one which worked. And so we recorded it on that. But it was a real eye-opener to me about how my expectation that if you just send somebody a link, everything's going to be fine. But of course, that wasn't the case. But go and have a listen, talking about the challenges and solutions. And actually, Elena is very positive about the block editor, which Joe was kind of surprised about when I told him. He's often meets people who find the block editor from an accessibility point of view really difficult, but Elena has a load of reasons why she likes it. So go check that out. I'd appreciate that. And then last but by no means least, I kind of couldn't find this episode. It was episode number 404. I know, I had to get it in there. But eventually I did find it. It was found. And we're talking about Building Blocks with Alan Fuller. So go and check that out. You can find that in the archive. This one, WP Builds. All right. Okay.
Just to check, Nathan, is 410 going to be the last episode?
Oh, you are good. Yeah. Yeah, that's probably, yeah, there's no more after that. That's the absolute ceiling. Now, I want to get to at least 1,000. 999. Maybe I'll call it a day then. How's that sound? Yeah? 410. I like it. Right, moving on. Here we go. WordPress 6.8 release squad has been announced. In case you didn't know, WordPress is, created by largely volunteers. We'll get onto that subject in just a moment, whether people are seconded to do that or not. And the release squad for 6.8 has been announced, and here it is. The release lead is...
Wait a minute. We know somebody on that list.
We do know somebody on this list.
There's a lot of people on that list.
Can you see a name on there that you're familiar with? Who do you see?
My goodness.
Tammy Lister.
Tammy Lister. She's in the comments. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Michelle Frechette. Look at that. She is one of the two coordinators, along with Jeffrey Paul. Can I ask, Michelle, what does this involve? What does this role mean?
I am still learning that, but it basically is coordinating all the different pieces, making sure that everything stays on track and on time. And if I could be honest, I'm most excited about working alongside Jeffrey because he and I have never worked on a project together. So it's going to be exciting.
Are you kind of herding cats then? Is your job to make sure that the human beings are doing what they, you know, that things are done in a timely way and that coordination happens?
Yeah.
I had once on WP Coffee Talk interviewed Francesca Marano, who had done this role before, and she called herself the shouty lady in that she was making sure that she was shouting at everybody to get it all done. So I now have the title of shouty lady after Francesca has created that role. So, yes.
Well, appreciate your commitment to that. We've got the release lead of Matt, obviously the coordination now we know, Jeffrey Paul and Michelle Frechette. It's on the screen, but tech leads is going to be Joe McGill, Jonathan Desrosiers, and George Mamadashvili. I apologize for the pronunciation there. Triars, JB, Audrus, design lead. There we go. Tammy Lister. She's on the call. Performance lead, Felix Arntz. We've got a video from him later. And the test lead is Krupa Nanda. And the release timeline is beta 1, 4th of March. Release candidate 1, 25th of March, and then hopefully shipping generally by the 15th of April. Does Tim or Corey have anything to add on that, or should we just move on?
I've got a question for Michelle. Mm-hmm. When you told Darren you were going to be one of the coordination leads, was it the case that you'd stepped forward or stepped back? How did the volunteer process work, I guess, is what I'm asking.
How do you volunteer if you step back? I'm not sure how that works.
That's what you shoved forward.
Oh, I see. No, I did when the call for contributors went out, I did volunteer myself. So,
yep. Oh, look, and I thought I was good at jokes. Taco, being a dad, gets right to it. Look at that. Keep everything on track without a cake. That's good. I like that. I should. That's maybe.
Like, Extra points for him because this is not his primary language. And for him to pun and do dad jokes in a language that's not his primary language.
That's true.
Major chaps, Taco.
Yeah. Honestly, if I tried any jokes in Dutch, well, it's not going to happen. I don't know a word of Dutch. Tammy's come back that you are going to be herding deranged cats.
The shouty lady. Yes.
The shouty. Yeah, you could. Maybe you can reassign that eponym and become the quiet lady, the quiet but effective, non-shouty. Maybe you
have
can be the stare-free lady.
Oh, come on. Have you ever known me to be quiet?
Well, okay.
One of the things that goes along with like dad jokes, right, is the looks that mothers can give.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
And so I feel like you don't have to shout. You just do one of those, like, you just lower your glasses and just give one of those looks, you know.
Did you get that? I used to. So we every Sunday, we'd sit down and have like a full meal with the family. And my mom would often invite people from the community around. And I was quite a precocious sort of young child. And I'd often get in trouble. My mother could put me in my place with the merest movement of an eyebrow. Just like that. And I'd be like, It's very effective. Exactly. Do that, Michelle. Do that. Deploy the eyebrows. There's another title for this episode. Right, okay, getting back to it.
I was just going to say, just imagine Michelle quiet, how much fear would be spread.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you see that?
See, I'm scared and I'm...
Yeah.
And there's an ocean between us, yes.
Yeah. The British do this thing. I don't know if it's an American, North American thing as well. We do this thing called totting, where we sort of go... And totting can be enormously powerful.
Tisk, tisk, yes.
The tot bomb, as Armando Iannucci calls it. yeah, Corey's got it. Eyebrow coordinator, says Tammy. Okie doke. Right, anyway, there's
guess
your lead.
I should get to the salon.
There's your lead. Yeah, get to the salon. Here we go. And along to that. That was the lead for that was the team for 6.8. However, we also have hosting and theme reps that have been announced for 2025. This is a post on the WP Tavern, which, by the way, genuine bit of water coming out of the eyes here. Joelsner, who has been writing for the Tavern for a while. Michelle, did you tweet me? I think it was you that tweeted me to say that Joelsner has tweeted, I think, today that they're giving up that role.
No, that's news to me.
Yeah. No, maybe it wasn't you. I can't remember who sent it. Anyway, somebody did. And so I would just like to say thank you to Joelsner for stepping in. Obviously, when Sarah Gooding stepped down after Justin, we had a vacuum for quite a while. Joelsner filled that gap admirably, I think, for the last few months. But the Tavern is going to sort of, I guess, go cold for a bit. I don't know what's going to happen to it. But keep your eye on this tab because I'll be hopefully still doing the podcast episodes. We'll talk about that. We did do already. But Joelsner's one of the last pieces is the team, the hosting and theme reps. And here's the names: Alexandru Cosmin, Ganga Kafle, Shiva Shankar Bhatta. Apologies for butchering any name. Theme hosting reps are going to be Zune and Lucas Radka. So thank you to them for their work as well. Anything on those? No. Okay.
Is Nathan's audio garbled for anybody besides me? Okay.
Oh, really?
A little bit of roboting going on.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let me try a couple of things. Let me remove a couple of things on my end that might be chewing up my CPU. Is that better?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, interesting. Okay, let's see how we go. Apologies. Please just interrupt me and tell me, because I can always refresh and come back, and you can always, you know, have fun while the cat's away or whatever that expression is. Okay, here we go. Here's the stuff that that's going to be sort of causing controversy this week that I mentioned earlier you may or may not want to contribute to. Here's number one. This is a post from automatic.com. This happened on the 9th, so just a few days ago, 4 days ago. It's entitled Aligning Automatic Sponsored Contributions to WordPress. If you were to look at a graph which comes out each year, I think Joost de Volk is the person that typically puts the graph together, or at least that's where I'm colliding with it. There's sort of like these circles, and those circles represent the amount of hours that different companies in the WordPress space have contributed to the WordPress project. Usually Automatic is by far the largest of those circles, and then you get things like Yoast and various other people as well as other companies as well. However, that is being pivoted. Automatic in this piece are saying that because of the ongoing legal dispute with WP Engine, it has been decided, and I'll quote, to recalibrate and ensure our efforts are impactful as possible, Automatic will reduce its sponsored contributions to the WordPress project. This is not a step we take lightly. It is a moment to regroup, rethink, and strategically plan how automaticians can contribute in ways that secure the future of WordPress for generations to come. Automaticians who contributed to Core will instead focus on, and I think this is the most interesting bit, on for-profit projects within Automatic, such as .com, Pressable, VIP, Jetpack, and WooCommerce. And then they say that what they're planning to do as part of the reset, they're going to match the pledge from particularly, is written here, WP Engine. So at the moment, 45 hours a week. Now, if WP Engine's commitment went down, I don't know if that means that Automatic's commitment would kind of match that. And equally, if it went up, I don't know if it means that they would match that as well. And yeah, so this was obviously a fairly big shift. And it does make you question if such a giant contributor to the project has decided to step out of contributing to the code base for Core, and everything's going to be now focused on the bits and pieces around it, the for-profit stuff, what impact that will have. And I offer it up to you if you want to talk, and if not, I will move on to the next bit.
I think it's not utterly surprising. I think this was something that could have been, that was being predicted as a part of larger stuff that was going on. As always, there are much better ways to communicate stuff. And even in this, this is the nice version of some of the stuff we've seen in the last week. But even this makes very little sense from an outside perspective. And you've got to be sitting there going, if you're an automatician who, you know, is sponsored to work on WordPress Core, or were, it must be really worrying internally. I'm hoping that there's lots of internal communication going on, encouraging people and saying, don't worry, we'll sort this, you know, it all gets better, etc. But if that's your job, if you're like somebody who's internal there, especially if you've gone through several rounds of these various offers where they've been said, look, if you don't agree with us, leave. And not everybody can do that. Not everybody can just leave. So then for a lot of the people there, they're just going to have to put their heads down and want to not to be seen by anybody, I suspect. So I feel very sorry for the automaticians who are stuck in the middle. But
right. Right. So what you're saying is that there's obviously automaticians who've taken on a job where for many, many years they'll have been doing work that now they've got like kind of a new job description, basically, and they've got to do something which they weren't necessarily doing before. I see.
And quite a lot of these people will not. I mean, they're all, especially the development team, developers at Automatic are very talented individuals who obviously can change their hands at things. But if your job's been working on WordPress Core, that is a very different place to a lot of the places that they're now being told they're going to be potentially reassigned to. And obviously, this is just an external communication that has been put out into the wider world, what impact it might actually have. But given you've got like, I feel really bad. I've forgotten the name of the lady who took on the role as the executive director of WordPress.org,
Mary Hubbard.
Yes. Given her role as the executive director of WordPress.org, she's going to find, which was a full-time role she was employed to do. She's now supposedly doing less than 5 hours a week. She's going to have a lovely time not doing very much, or presumably has now got to find some other job, some other work to be doing inside the company. It just feels really like, oh, that's unfortunate. But generally, This doesn't feel like it's very short term and this is just mudslinging, or it's a long term realignment, in which case I think there's a lot of people who are going to be truly shocked because that wasn't what they signed up to do.
So just to address that point, let's just pop that article back on the screen. If you go right to the bottom, it says, I just highlighted this bit. We're excited to return to active contributions to WordPress Core Gutenberg Playground Openverse.org. when the legal attacks have stopped. So the constraints around this change, of course, seem to be bound to the legal dispute becoming an event in history, you know, no longer hanging over anybody's head. A comment from Courtney Robertson here. In post status, sorry, Tim, you've been obliterated by that. There we go. In post status, Jonathan Bossinger confirmed other teams, not just Core, are reassigned as well. He will be dev education on internal projects. Right. So Jonathan's job was to do the public-facing learn materials. I don't know if that encapsulates all that he did, but I saw him doing that. And now it's going internal by the looks of that, on internal projects. So education, but turned towards the people on the inside. Okay. Anybody else? Michelle or Corey? Or shall we move on?
I'm not a coder, and there's a lot that goes on with the code of WordPress and moving it forward. I'm a community person, and I'm really hopeful that we have enough people who are not automaticians that work in community to keep things moving forward for upcoming WordCamps and things like that. That's where I think I really want to see a lot of the momentum keep moving forward with ownership in the community about the community, which I think is what this all should is about from the beginning anyway, not just code. So there have been people who have been reassigned within Automattic who have reached out to me to say, if people ask about this, can we send them to you to give answers about things that you're working on? And I'm not going to go in depth on some of that. But yes, right, there are those of us who continue to work in the community who are sponsored by other companies or work within other companies who will keep doing the best that we can to help keep things moving forward as well.
It will be interesting to see, though, if the number of hours. So, because Automattic was that biggest piece of the pie, if you like, I honestly don't know what. If I always saw it as like there was just a bunch of circles next to each other, so you never got that kind of pie chart bit. But I imagine that the Automattic piece of the pie was pretty big. It will be interesting to see. Let's imagine a scenario in which this lawsuit goes on and on and on and just keeps going for months and months and months. It will be interesting to see if your 6.8. Has less of the things that were intended to be shipped. If we were to look at the roadmap several months ago, will it have less things in it? I'm imagining the answer is going to be yes, because, you know, those hours that would have been put into it will be different. Tammy's just making the point, though, that it is important to note core and work is still going on. I should also point out that the hours that, here we go, I'll just pop this on the screen again, that it says here, these hours, so the remaining hours that Automattic will be putting in will likely go towards security and critical updates, which is, I think, an interesting thing. If something comes up, hopefully that will get addressed. You know, if some new vulnerability crops up that's unheard of, that will be one of the things that the automaticians will be assigned to doing. Imran Web Squadron saying, how do they qualify hours spent? I've logged in every day to their Slack since the end of September. I have done audio for some of their videos. And it's truncated on the screen, but I can see it here. There's no clarity on how they record hours contributed.
Log into your WordPress.org account and adjust the number of hours and what teams you're contributing to. It's all coming from your profile and how you report your hours.
Okay. Thank you, Michelle. That's good to hear.
And can I just say, too, that there are a number of companies. It isn't just one or two companies. I am so grateful. I just want to say this publicly. So grateful to StellarWP and Liquid Web for affording me the time within my work week to continue to work on community and things that I do within the community. And my company is not the only company doing those things. And I'm not the only person within Liquid Web doing those things. So other companies are doing what we're doing and trying the best we can to keep community and code and everything moving forward as well.
Let's just go to Courtney again, Courtney Robertson. There was a post in the communities team site that there will be folks stepping up, such as Timmy, to keep events going. I'm struggling to keep up with the comments that are coming in, but if I see any more that I wish to put up, I will. Corey, Michelle, Tim, Corey?
Yeah, I don't know if it's devil's advocate or a little bit of a different take or something, but I hadn't seen the, like, you know, as soon as the lawsuits end, we'll go back to normal. I'd kind of hope that this would actually become the norm, which is, I think, going to get me booed. But Automattic, from an outside perspective, has felt like for a long time, I'll just say, people in and around Automattic have sort of lorded this over the rest of the community and use it as justification for, well, we're going to make these priorities for every release and we are better than every other company and we are sort of holier than thou because of the hours contributed. And so, and this idea that Automattic is somehow better than the other capitalist corporate entities in the space, and if their contribution becomes even with everybody else's, then that argument kind of goes away. And to me, there's people have said in Twitter and in conversations and whatnot, like, you know, Automattic is a company. Like, there's a lot of discussion going on and big voices screaming loud about, you know, the evil of this corporation and that corporation, and a lot of people rebutting, like, Automattic's a company too. And so to me, this kind of draws an underline on of that, of like, Automattic is just another company. And again, people will disagree with that. Every company is a little different, you know, but if they are just another company in the space, I think that's actually better. Cause like that, that article says, though, they're kind of making the opposite point. Like, this levels the playing field a bit.
Interesting. Okay. Tim, I think, did you want to say something that it sounded like
just,
you were?
I sort of was going to make a point that was sort of similar to Corey's, which is that the reduction down in hours, while initially will hurt, as Michelle said, people will step up. And as a project, it could be very positive because there has been this massive imbalance. That said, that only works if there is, when Corey said, well, we're delivering this feature because we've got all these hours supported. Which, as long as we don't end up in a scenario where features cannot be delivered because they've been roadblocked by people saying no, but we're not going to work on that because we're not going to work at all. We're just going to do these updates, and we're going to stop any progress being made on anything that doesn't support our goals. If we can get past that sort of stage, and we can have a stage where we actually have collaboration across multiple contributors, and there isn't this giant sort of just gravity that Automattic would have when it has so many people contributing, it naturally draws all the tickets towards it. It draws its features into the WordPress sort of project. So this might be a really positive step. But it has to come with undoing of some chains regarding leadership and control of the project. So if you're going to reduce down that the amount of hours you're doing, well, that in turn means you've got to let the people who are stepping up take the decisions and make some of the decisions.
Okay, right. Yeah, that's an interesting point. I hadn't thought of that. Tammy Lister says, please keep reporting bugs, raising issues. Tracking GitHub is still open for the release as it's happening. 6.8, again, an interesting point. 6.8 is going to be a focus on iterations and improvements, not features, which is maybe an unexpectedly good consequence of this. So maybe that's what everybody needs right now, is how she finishes off. And then Marcus makes a similar point, I think, to Corey and Tim there. As a fan of a local sports team who has had many injuries, I do think this gives other folks who have not been given a chance, an opportunity to step in and show what they can do. So, yeah, interesting. Every cloud and all that.
I just have to ask Marcus.
Sorry, let's go Corey first, then Michelle. Sorry,
Michelle. I'm happy and hopeful that the article specifies that the hours that Automattic will be contributing are focused on security. I'm skeptical that it'll actually work out that way, to be cynical, but I'm hopeful that, like, as that comment said, that the focus will be on improvements, cleanup, the bare necessities, more on code, less on the block editor, broadly speaking. But we'll see.
I'm going to use that as the title of this week's episode, More on Code. I like that. yeah, I know. ka-ting, dad joke. Michelle?
Nah, I'm good.
Are you sure? Okay, sorry for interrupting.
No, I was just going to make a funny, and it's not really that funny, so
that's my job. That is what I do. Okay, let's move on, change the subject a little bit. So this happened as well. This is on the repository. So Ray Mori writes, Mullenweg shuts down WordPress sustainability team, igniting backlash. And the sustainability team, which you can see, well, some members thereof, that I think this is WordCamp Europe, it looks like, by the stuff in the background. It's happened. This team was disbanded by Matt Mullenweg in the Slack probably about a week ago, I feel it was now, something like that, announced in the WordPress Slack on Wednesday that he was stepping down for, oh yeah, that's a bit of context, which doesn't really matter. Anyway, the long and the short of all of this is that that team was shot down, and I don't know if anybody was aware that that was going to happen. So that team just got shut down fairly swiftly. And the people who had been contributing to that team obviously had an opinion on all of that. Anything on that? Michelle, Corey, Tim?
This is sustainability is a legal requirement in a lot of countries. Oh. And every other major open source project has a sustainability team. The sustainability team... And the way it was shut down was just like, hang, you are no longer interesting, goodbye. Which, obviously, given the current drama, is always going to go down badly. But this is one of these things. You can't, as much as improving performance improves sustainability, sustainability is more than just getting down a few bytes in core and saying we've done it. It's part of a much wider remit. This would be very similar to saying, we're going to shut down the accessibility team because we think that the accessibility should really just be in core. Or we're going to shut down the security team because we just write better and more secure code. It's on that sort of same par, just because we're more used to accessibility and security being a little bit like priorities, even though they are the eighth class citizens inside the project in many ways. Sustainability is even further down that chain and just got whacked straight off. But for a lot of people, that's going to have a big implication going forward. And come when they're starting to look at when agencies and when these really big projects that are prestige ones that we really want on WordPress, when they're going to start asking questions and they're going to go to places like WordPress VIP, or to one of the bigger agencies and start talking about sustainability, and they're going to struggle to have answers because we've cut that team away. So it seems very short-sighted, and obviously the mannerism of how it got shut down was just, we're here now, aren't we?
Nicholas, this was going to be my response to your comment about people's roles changing in automatic, is I was going to be like, look at that other article. The likelihood is that things are just going to get shut down worryingly, potentially willy-nilly, based on somebody's whim. And I feel bad for people who are bearing the brunt of that.
I did a podcast episode with one of the people that you can you see on the screen here. This fine gentleman right here, whose name is Nawai Badiola. And in it, we talked about the sustainability team. This was back in May, just the previous May. And the goal of the sustainability team wasn't, as you might expect, just sort of performance, i.e. let's make the code, a WordPress website load quicker. There was way more to it. And it was about, you know, events and sustainability in terms of, you know, jobs and all sorts of other things as well. So it's kind of a broader remit. If you want to, though, head to the repository.email and you can see the title here. Molenweg shuts down WordPress sustainability team, igniting backlash is the title. And if you scroll down, you'll be able to see that Ray has written up a whole slew of, you know, differing opinions on that, which we haven't got time to get into here. But you can imagine, given that it went from something to nothing in fairly short shrift, that there were a lot of differing voices, let's put it that way. The sustainability team, Courtney says, is where Five for the Future, new contributor mentorship, contributor stats dashboard, and more were also centralized. Okay, so maybe there's some cleanup work there, Courtney, for that team as well. I don't really know. Anybody else on that one? Corey's gone.
He'll be right back.
Great. Okay, thank you. That's great. Yeah. Right, okay. So honestly, we can't seemingly get away from all this. There's a lot happening, isn't there? There's loads going on. This is that PatchStack were rejected as as WordCamp Europe sponsor for 2025. This is WordCamp Europe. I don't know if I said that. Due to lack of significant contributions. So Oliver Sild, the CEO of PatchStack, shared a message that he'd got from, it's written here, at least anyway, the WordPress community team. And if you read that, basically it was, to sum it up, your application has not been approved this time around. And for instance, we recognize that, I'm trying to find the exact line, doesn't matter. The point was they pointed to the history of PatchStack's contributions, and the way that it felt from that email is that they didn't match what was expected in order to be a sponsor at that event. That obviously, again, blew up, as so many things are at the minute. Everything is sort of, you know, it's getting posted, a thing happens, and then, you know, it all gets blown up. And actually, interestingly, just down here, Matt Mullenweg himself got into this debate by saying that he thought that, and I'll quote, he says, "I agree, that's a crappy email to get. It's also not 100% accurate." That is to say that the definition of why they were not allowed to sponsor was not accurate. I'll look into it. Thank you for your, and to you and all your colleagues for trying to make WordPress plugins and themes better. And Oliver, the update on here is that it says, right now, Oliver Sild from PatchStack says, the last thing that we've been told is that we're not eligible to sponsor, but we'll see, obviously, how that story develops. Interestingly, and I don't know if there's anything in this, around the time that the whole saga with WP Engine and Automattic kicked off, I don't know if you remember, on this show, we reported from Drupal, Dries Bagtaert from Drupal, over there they have this system where, based upon what you did in the previous year, so it's not five for the future, but it's whatever metrics they've got, you are or are not entitled to become a sponsor, or you know appear on the Drupal.org web page or come to their Drupal cons as a sponsor. And I wondered if it was something like that that was being put in place in the background, you know, the scaffolding around that was being built, but not that we would know, because we didn't know, but I wondered if that's how they're going to pitch it. You know, if you've ticked off this thing, and this thing, then you can be a sponsor. But in this case, if that's the case, then PatchStack, well, or indeed anybody, would not have known that. So I'm kind of making it up, really. I don't know if that's what's going on or not. Tim sort of nodding his head. Maybe that's
No, I was just nodding my head in sort of like that whole... The way that Drupal does it is very transparent, very open,
right,
and comes through the fire of doing lots of silly mistakes with their community events. So they've learned and they've reiterated over many times, and it's sometimes got it wrong. But the key word to that is transparent. They're very clear about what the requirements are, how you gain those requirements.
Yeah,
and whole thing with Five to the Future has been... It's really, I mean, there's been efforts to make it better, but it is quite opaque, and it's self-reporting, and it's all the, and it's like this really obscure little thing that for years, it has been around for a while, but nobody really, it wasn't a thing until it got thrust into the limelight with like, no, you're not contributing unless you're doing it through Five to the Future. As a business owner, I have sponsored a WordCamp with my tiny little business. I am not subscribed to Five to the Future. Does that mean I will no longer be allowed to sponsor WordCamps? Do I not contribute? Have I not contributed enough in the past historically enough to qualify? These are all...
Does it bother you? Did you get your money's worth out of sponsoring?
Oh, well, that is a complete...
Be the cynical one here.
Yeah, and totally. And one I'm very happy that conversation to have, but... It sort of comes up over again. Are we going to say that actually you can't be a speaker unless you are subscribed to Five to the Future? What about an attendee? I mean, we're stuck with attendees must go through the rigmarole of signing up for a WordPress.org account and all the other bits. So I'm gonna put down a bet that I'd want to lose, but I'm not convinced WordCamp Europe will be on. I'm willing to put a bet. I want to be wrong about it, but I'm not sure WordCamp Europe's going to be on. I don't think they're going to get.
I would use the word can't, right? I wonder how many WordCamps can't go on because there aren't going to be sponsors.
Yeah.
Historically, the flagship events have been run a little bit differently than the local events, and I wonder how that will play out with this set of rules that it seems to be in play. You know, like WordCamp Rochester, when you meet with your mentor, you're told that you have to get so much sponsorship that's local sponsorship and people like that. You know, a local company that's, say, a printer, you know, is not contributing to WordPress other than paying money to have their name on your website. Is that still okay because it's a local sponsor? Are you going to be able to find local sponsors that contribute in that way? And so I would argue that it's probably still going to be a little bit of a different set of rules for local camps or regional camps versus the flagship events. But I don't know that to be true.
Wasn't there a news story recently about how they've introduced $500 is supposed to go to TV ads and radio ads or some? Am I the only one that remembers this?
I don't remember that one. No.
So that money from the from WordPress itself.
Money from WordPress
Central. Could be earmarked for those things.
Yeah, I think that was $400.
Which is different than raising money from a local sponsor.
I realize it all feels very. It feels like Tim alluded to. It feels like there's some mistakes being made, and there's a bit of splashing around trying to figure out how to make all this stuff work. What is sponsorship? What are the rules around sponsorship? And then also like the inverse, how do we get sponsors? How do we get local sponsors? None of it seems like it's landing quite right.
Okay. And Taco Verdonshot, just fully cementing his credentials here as a brilliant, just got the full dad joke thing going on. And like Michelle says, to be able to do it in a second language is pretty incredible. Word can't like it. Word can't. Nah. WordCamp Europe will happen. He's sure. Brilliant. Well done. Is that printer contributing by sponsoring? I heard sponsorship is marketing, not contribution. I hope you're wrong, says Steve Mosby. Sorry, the previous one was Marcus Burnett. Mm-hmm. And all right, that is it. All of these articles are just painting a picture of a WordPress ecosystem that we just don't recognize. It's very different. We've been used to decades, of it evolving slowly over time and things just morphing at a fairly pedestrian rate so that you can keep up with what's going on. And now we're in a period of very rapid flux. And so it's all kind of hitting all at once. And so it definitely is interesting, should we say. And we seem to be making lots of big decisions happening off the back of things, in the press for what have you.
So one more comment about the patch stack thing. I think we're with what's it called? PressConf now? Which you've reported on previously.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
And I'm excited to see more unofficial or parallel or whatever the right word is, events that are WordPress related, but not necessarily involved or directly sponsored by or overseen by like the core WordPress ecosystem /universe/ whatever you want to call it. I'm excited about that because I'm slightly related or I've been real disappointed. I'm just sad that there used to be so many small local camps, and post COVID there aren't and there can't be, and I'm sad that it feels like a lot of the stuff that we're talking about here is getting in the way of those coming back. I'm hopeful that people will take their own reins and start putting on their own events, local events, small events, and kind of because like when I lived in Nashville there were free camps, right? And there was an event space, people could show up and kind of elect themselves to speak, and you still got some of those elements of great conversations happening, and we were all there together to collaborate, to be part of a community, to interesting conversations would happen. And I'm really excited for that to happen, and I'm really excited to happen for that to happen without all these hoops that people have to jump through and all these official rules and yeses and nos going on.
Be interesting to see, won't it, whether whether that ecosystem of events outside of WordCamp Central occurs. Let's see. Humans are resilient, says Tammy, but we need to be kind to each other.
I feel that's the point the cat comes on.
The cat. Oh, I see. Okay.
Little ukulele. Right.
Yeah, yeah. For 10 seconds only. I'm not doing this for long. You're going to get the cat for 10 seconds. So just so that we can all have a breather. Okay. Here we go. And this is all I could cope with.
1.5 seconds.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, poor cat. And there's goats as well, but we never got to the goats. Oh, sheep. No.
There's goats out there.
You can see. Follow them.
Is that their daughters?
No. Hashtag behind Tim. Right. Okay. Let's move on. So this is an interesting piece of news, and it's not actually news in that it's not new. So you might regard it as stale, but it fell at just that moment where we went off air just before Christmas. So we never quite got it, but I think it was like mid to late December. WP Community Collective .com. The article is entitled "The WP Community Collective Announces Formal Nonprofit Incorporation." Now, honestly, the amount that I know about nonprofits and incorporation in the US can be written on a grain of rice in a biro. So hopefully Michelle can help us out here. But it says, "We're thrilled to announce a significant milestone in the evolution of the WP Community Collective. On the 13th of November 2024, we officially incorporated as a California membership nonprofit for mutual benefit, launching an exciting new chapter in our commitment to supporting people and projects that comprise the communities of WordPress and open source software. WPCC, that's the acronym, aims to remove the financial and logistical barriers to open source contribution and support the development of projects and initiatives that drive open source forward. And there's a call to get involved if you want to be a part of that. And there's a Slack, which has been launched as well, so that you can join up and be a member in that way. And then it goes into here, the structure of what this all means. But I'm going to pause there and just hand it over to Michelle and say, tell us more, Michelle, because I don't really get it.
So I don't know how it is in other parts of the world, but in the United States, a nonprofit organization has different oversight, different spending rules and things like that. But they also are not taxed themselves. So they can make purchases without paying sales tax, for example, and contributions made from people within the United States, at least, are not are tax deductible. So, you know, you can't just like give away your entire salary and not be taxed. But there's of course a million tax codes here. But contributions made are tax deductible to what you are taxed on an annual basis from your salary. And so this is a move in the right direction. This is something that allows them to operate with better outcomes for the people who are contributing. And it allows them some freedom to be able to do things also without being taxed themselves. And so I think this is great. This is something really to be applauded. And say Katie and Courtney have done a lot of work for this. I will also say that I don't know how they've funded being able to become a nonprofit, but it is not an inexpensive ordeal because lawyers are involved. And if you know lawyers, that is not something that is usually very cheap. But becoming a nonprofit organization usually costs the organization between $10,000 and $15,000. I don't know what they've paid or what they've had to pay. But that means that it's a very big commitment to the future of their organization to have gone through that. So applause all around for them.
Have I summed it up right if I say that it's almost like an escrow service for if you as a company wish to, but you don't know where you want your endeavors to go, you can pay some money to the WP Community Collective. They will then sort of like act as an escrow holding service, and then they will redistribute that money to willing volunteers and people in the community who wish to be financially remunerated. So in other words, it takes the decision making about where you might want the money to go. You're just sort of, you can hand over some money and the WPCC in the public, you know, very transparently will say where all of that money is ending up.
I'm not sure exactly how they're doing it. I know in the past you've been able to earmark your donation towards
a
specific subset organization, not organization, but subset project. So, for example, Alex Stein was previously awarded money to do work on accessibility through WPC. And so I don't know if they're still doing it that way. I haven't looked further into it. If Courtney's still in the chat, she could give us a little bit of insight.
Yeah, I was hoping that she would drop in and give us that little heads up.
She may have had to She may have had to step away. But yeah. And I'm sure if you were to scroll up and look at their donation page, you may be able to still see if that is true statement or not. So they have a donation page there.
True enough. Yeah, WP, it's done with Open Collective, and at the moment...
Yeah, so you can contribute to different earmarked places. So they have the founding member donation. That now is different than what it was before, where you could say, I specifically want to donate to this specific project or what they were doing. So
That's right. Along here were a bunch of different specific projects. And they were bound sometimes, I think, to individuals like Alex and what have you. Yeah. Anyway, there you go. So it was a bit of, it's not brand new news, but I thought it was worth mentioning given...
It's very momentous for this organization and for those of us who contribute to it. So congratulations to them.
Okay. We were talking about WordCamp Europe a moment ago, whether or not it will or won't happen. And here is some intel, hopefully, that means that it will. Because just this week, just a few days ago, they put out a call for speakers. So europe.wordcamp.org/2025. And you've got the call for speaker page, but also the call for sponsor page. And it will be interesting in the next few weeks to see. Mm-hmm. I guess this one in particular, the call for sponsors, as we described, might be an interesting litmus test of the sort of reading the room about how people are feeling in the WordPress space at the moment
if you plan to apply to speak, you have till the end of this month, I believe.
Yeah.
31st of January.
Good point. 31st of January, mm-hmm. if you want to be a speaker. And if you would like to be a sponsor, I don't remember that date. It didn't come into my head for some reason. Can't remember. Anyway, you can go to this page and find out. And they've got all the lowdown on what the room will look like and what you're going to get for your money and mm-hmm. so on. Okay. Anything to add to that or shall we move on? Okay, let's move on. So we were talking earlier about how Automattica sort of getting the automaticians to turn into internal for-profit projects. WordPress.com is one of those. And this came out this week. I thought it was kind of interesting. So Studio, which is a local development environment that is built on the backbone of, I think, I'm pretty sure in saying it's built off the background of Playground, now has the capacity to sync to WordPress.com websites. And again, if we look at what it was saying in the Automattic article, it does sound like there's going to be a push on the .com side to make it look like .org. There's nothing really to say here apart from the fact that this is now a new thing. If you bind it to your WordPress.com account, you can now develop locally and press the button and sync it up into the WP.com cloud. Anybody got anything to add to that? Probably
not. It's a very cool app actually on your computer. I've tried to set up XAMPP and MAMP and things in the past with it's not my bailiwick, for example, to be able to do a lot of those kinds of things that seem to have a lot of steps. This was so easy to deploy, so easy to work with. They've integrated AI back in October. There's a lot of things going on. And if you are interested in learning more, Ian Stewart, who is WP.com product lead, is going to be on Post-Status Happiness Hour this Wednesday, and we're going to go a little more in depth on it. So if you're interested in learning more, I invite you to that live stream.
There you go. Thank you. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's nice. Poststatus.com, and you'll be able to find the feed there, I'm sure. There we go. So that's sync. Right, moving on. This is just to say somebody who's often, commenting on this or writing to me on Twitter and things like that is this fine gentleman, Elliot Richman, and he puts out a lot of YouTube content. This one caught my eye, though. It's a completely free piece of content. I don't think it's got upsells or anything like that. And it's if you're curious about block theme development, hopefully I'm going to be talking to Tammy Lister on a podcast episode, which will come out probably in the next couple of weeks this week, about this very subject. But just a bit of a hat tip to Elliot there for putting out really nicely done professional YouTube content, in this case around the theme of block theming and how you might get up and running with that. Again, I don't suppose anybody's got anything to contribute to that. If you do, pipe up now. If not, I'll move on. Alrighty. Plugin that I saw coming out. This is Jono Alderson, and he's got an Edge image plugin. This is not new, but it's new to me, and I just thought it was kind of curious and interesting. It puts your images to the edge, as you might very well imagine, and it uses things like Cloudflare, Bunny CDN, and it'll put your images up there, serve them from those edges, and also, you know, if you needed to do any transformation, like resize them and so on. And it's completely free on the WordPress.org repository. Again, probably nothing to add to that, but I just thought
just to say it is relatively brand new. I think he did the first release like 5 days ago.
Oh, it is brand new. It was me looking at
Jono's first plugin. So
interesting, but it was me looking at this version number that made me think, well, it can't be brand new then. Has he just been like releasing a version like every 10 minutes or something?
He's clearly into Semvar, but it is brand new, and as I say, it's his first plugin. So huge congratulations, because the very first thing to do it with a plugin to ship it. And yeah, so many people start writing a plugin and don't ship it. It's a bit like writing a book.
Oh, don't get me started on writing a book. I could use up like a whole 10 minutes of a podcast episode on that subject if you want me to. I did that already. So well done, Jono. That's brilliant. So Edge Images, there's more to say. I'll just quickly read the very beginning of the description. Edge Images automatically uses your Edge transformation service, Cloudflare accelerated domains, ImGix, etc., to apply performance optimizations to image markup. I didn't know if this was close to your heart, Corey, given everything that you do at OMG, IMG, but fascinating plugin.
Yeah, it's a great little plugin, and pleased to see it.
Nice.
I love the artwork, especially. Like,
yeah, always, isn't that cool?
Honestly, one of the things that I rate plugins on, in addition to code and reputation and all that, but mostly title and the images they choose. And this is adorable.
It's a good one. It is a good one, that's for sure. The first rule of book club is don't talk about book club. That's right. The first rule of writing a book, do not write a book. This is no word of a lie. I've mentioned this before.
Surely the first rule of book club is don't read about book club.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Don't even think about book club.
Because bring another bottle of wine, I thought.
Yeah.
Don't book it either.
No, don't book it. Okay. Oh, Christ. You're qualifying for dad jokes there, Michelle.
I know. Yeah. There's no such thing as mom jokes. I have to lean in with whatever testosterone I have in my body. So,
yeah, well caught. Okay, I don't know if we want to get into it. Time is sort of running short, so we don't have really that much time, but we'll just go into this. This was another piece which caught people a little bit off guard this week. This is on the repository, the reporting of a call for more weirdness in WordPress theme design sparks debate about accessibility. And this was Nick Hamsey, who proposed that it would be good to see more, let's use the word quirky instead of weird. Weird, I think I've got this intuition, and Tammy sort of cemented it a little bit. I don't know if weird has got the same connotation in the US as it does in the UK. I don't know if there's a different depth to the quality of that word, but weird in the UK kind of implies not good to some extent. So if you say weirdness, you are basically giving it the thumbs down. We've
taken it back, Nathan. So
right, you've got back to the original Elizabethan like, version of weirdness.
100%. Like, you know, Austin has a whole marketing campaign, keep Austin weird, and then I don't know if they were the first city, but lots of cities have done this, and I do think that it isn't necessarily, you know, in a 1950s suburban sense, weird is bad, right? But I think it in modern parlance, it generally over here has a quirky, charming, at least potential use, right? This is a thing that comes up often in Reddit and other Hacker News. There's frequently threads about like, oh, I miss the internet of 20 plus years ago. And I'm totally that old guy that misses, my first websites were so weird because I was treating them as little art installations and also like, what can I do? This is pre-CSS. So it was slicing up. So it was going crazy in Photoshop, drop shadows all over the place.
Oh,
and then what could I do? How can I bend and break HTML in this thing called a browser to my whim, and how can I confuse people? And the website, a little digression here. One of the websites that I always quote is, or a reference is, so when I was first learning about the internet in like 96, 97, 98, hell.com, sorry, censorship, boop.com, but hell.com was a website that you went to, and every month they got a digital artist to do an installation where it was something weird, including things like you'd click a button and a pop-up would open a pop-up until it crashed your browser and you'd leave the computer. You know, but it was intentional. It was yeah. meant to be a, you know, pushing the boundaries of the medium. And I miss those days. And it doesn't have to be as outrageous as crashing your browser or experimental JavaScript or whatever. But, you know, you look at most landing pages, you look at most of the internet, which is now landing pages, you look at most landing pages and they look very the same. And I get it, right? Because we want to make money and we don't want to put people off by making a website so creative that it's hard to use and stuff like that. But there's definitely, anyway, I was thrilled to see this come up even in the WordPress context, because I see it come up often in the rest of the internet context. I was a little surprised at how much, like, I actually had friends and colleagues reaching out to me or referencing this sort of like in our ongoing private conversation. So it really seemed to resonate with people, and which I'm happy about. I would love to see more creativity, myself included. Like, I'm guilty of this too, but like all of us could take opportunities like personal blogs or websites or do little experiments or whatever to like continue to push the medium forward.
It is really interesting, isn't it, how the accessibility piece. No, let me rewind. Let me start again. I think you're right. If you were to look at 1,000 websites randomly, I'm sure that the design metaphors across a lot of them would be fairly similar. And whether or not the internet has become a little bit uninteresting or a little bit tired. And you see print publications. That is a real thing that they can do, isn't it? You know, they go to town on making every page quirky, for want of a better word, and different from the previous ones. Experimental is a word that Tammy thinks mm-hmm. should be used, but also artistic or quirky. So those three things, perhaps
creative,
weird, yeah, creative, and what have you. The reason this story came about was because the collision between, okay, well, if it's weird for the sake of weird and accessibility just gets the baby gets tossed out with the bathwater, that's not good. Because in many cases, you know, if it looks fabulous and really interesting, but nobody with, for example, a screen reader can make head nor tail of it, then that is bad. And it was, you know, as we do at the moment, everything gets heated and taken off in different directions. And Pete Chineri, who was in the chat earlier, I don't know if she's still with us, she had a fairly long Twitter thread proposing, like, fairly carefully explaining how artistic is not the same as functional. So, you know, a piece of art that you put on a wall and hang on a wall is not the same thing, for example. It's not the same use case as a website and what have you. Anyway, that is all I'm going to say. Tim, Michelle, anything you want to add?
I just want to emphasize that weird doesn't have the same connections internationally as it does in the US. And it derives from like Shakespearean English and the weird sisters. So the three weird sisters from Shakespeare. So it really doesn't have the same happy or with artistic connotations. It really has a negative view. So when he's saying weird, we're all going, we don't want weird. We want good and
yeah.
happy and cheerful and experimental yeah. and artistic.
It's kind of interesting because Corey second like checked himself then when he used the word hell. And the word hell to me has no, yeah. like, there's nothing in that word. It's just a word. It has no connotations. And also, there was a guy on the BBC not that long ago. He's an American, and he used the word crap. And that in the UK is powerful. That word is like, don't use that in front of children. But I think in the US, it's like, it's just a word you use all the time, right? It just means
that's,
not
that's
good.
That's the word you don't use instead of the S word.
Oh, okay, yeah. Right, yeah, but it's not as powerful, but it definitely is somewhere along the spectrum mm-hmm. towards it. but this guy got like shot down, and that's the word he said. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Anyway, so there's Peacher. He's back. Thanks for the mention. Yeah, go and find Peacher at Peacher, and you can see what she said there. But certainly sparked some debate. Michelle, you haven't had a chance. I don't know if you wish to.
I put it in the chat that I think of the word weird as being several standard deviations outside of the bell curve.
Okay, got it. Yeah, thank you. Peacher said it was on Blue Sky, not Twitter. Apologies. Those two things look so similar now.
They do.
I can't tell the difference, but yeah. Certainly, you're very welcome for mentioning it. The article that we're talking about was on the repository. Call for more weirdness in WordPress theme sparks debate about accessibility. You can read a lot about it. I mean, it got very heated at points. All right, how much time have we got? Not a lot. So very quickly then, I just want to mention AI services. We mentioned Felix Arntz. He's the performance lead for 6.8. He has this fabulous walkthrough where he illustrates what you can do with the new AI services plugin, where you can bind your WordPress website to all the AI. So it's not just ChatGPT. You can select which one you want, and you can ask it to retain a memory so that you can improve things over time. It's just a really interesting walkthrough. It's about 7 minutes long, and it really shows what's coming down the pike inside of WordPress. I apologize, Taco. I said I was going to mention this. I'll do this a little bit more at another moment because we haven't got much time. But if you've been following, Taco has moved from Yoast, and he's now working with Yoastvolk and Marika and the team at Progress Planner. Well, in the very near future, they're going to be launching their pro version. It says you can get pro now. My understanding is for a period of time, I think 99 licenses are going to be for sale at a discounted rate. Perhaps that window has already gone. But if you've heard me talking about what Progress Planner is, we did an episode on WP Builds with Yoastvolk about what it is and how it's kind of gamifying the drudgery of putting a website together and keeping it up to date and making sure that your editors are checking things and making sure that your contributors are putting things in a timely manner. It gamifies it all and makes it an interesting challenge. Well, now they've got a pro version. And you can see the difference here. You get mini courses, you get some challenges, and you get access to their support team as well. So a little plug, and we will, I'm sure, be plugging it on various different channels as well. Progressplanner.com/pro. Okay. And also Dave Foy. Sorry, Dave. Again, same thing. Dave Foy. Amazing content creator. Like, his videos look like TV, basically. He's got a new course called No Stress DNS, where he tries to take on the, let's call it, boring work of fiddling with DNS, what it does. I just fill in the DNS fields. I usually just copy and paste them. I have no idea what any of them do. Tim is going to be like, oh, Nathan, how can you? I know, no, he's shaking his head.
Can we just say he missed the opportunity to say DNS also means do not stress?
Oh, yeah, he did. I'm going to mention that to him straight away. Is that an acronym in the US? Do not stress, DNS.
No, but I mean, I'm a marketer, so I see things.
I like it. I'll get back to him. I'll tell him. Anyway, it's available. It's not available at the moment, but you can sign up to his list. It's dayfoy.com or just go Google no stress DNS, and I'm sure it'll be there for you to have a look at.
I mean, it rhymes, so it's done.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's what he was going for. Won't mention that, not if time. We'll mention this. Go and just check out easingwizard.com if you fancy making little blue rectangles move from left to right in a sort of easing way. This is your best friend. If you want to ease it in, if you want it to be quint, circ, expo, quartz, sign, don't know what any of those mean, but you can do it. And then you can fiddle with the curve and make things. Look at that. How cool is that? It's not that cool, but I really think it's cool. Sad, Nathan.
Go build some Legos, Nathan. Just go and build some
Thank you. Thank you. Easingwizard.com. Go check that out. This one is worth looking at. I'll come back to it. It's called squish.addy.ie, and it's an image squishing service. It will compress your AVIS, JPEGs, JPEG XLs, PNGs, and WebPs to make them smaller. And it's just right there. You just chuck it in and press the button. And finally, for Tim Nash's delectation, not very long, I'm afraid, Tim, the data breaches of 2024, the best ones. I've highlighted a few.
You're weird again.
Yeah. Look, they're weird. Weirdest. It does say that. Yeah. Again, anything on here, Tim, that gave you joy or fear this year?
Pardon?
was there anything on here that gave you, you know, Snowflake. Smirkiness?
Snowflake by far. So if you scroll down to near the bottom, you might even have it. It's got a nice list at the top. Snowflake, though, is like one of the last ones down there.
I did get that far, but I didn't highlight it. Tell us what Snowflake was.
So basically, bad actors managed to compromise customer accounts for cloud analytics services because they're not attached to lots of things. And they managed to therefore then grab out details from people like AT&T, Ticketmaster, but also big banks like Santander. And this wasn't just like little bits of data. This was like loads of data. And it was it's a really good example for the web that we rely on these first parties. We rely on Google Analytics. We rely on all these services. And we're installing their random little bits of JavaScript. And you have no idea if that site's been compromised. There are ways to tell, but generally most people have no idea. And if you were a bad actor and you were like a state actor, your target isn't going after WordPress sites. Your target is going after Google Analytics. Because once you've managed to compromise that little piece of JavaScript, you have access to everything. And Snowflake was an example of, hello, this is really, really, really bad. And the amount of data they just managed to trawl was immense. There's actually, since we're now in 2025, there's been a couple more in the last couple of days. GreatVee is an analytics service, also just been compromised. And it's considered to be one of the largest breaches ever.
Oh, so, my Lord. Oh, God, we're starting off 2025 on a good note. Oh, no. The one that I kind of thought was interesting, because it just took me aback a little bit, was the one where they're authorizing you because they kind of keep passport information or something. I can't remember what it was, but essentially they were keeping hold of loads of data. It's the kind of place where you go, you know, if you're, I don't know, you've got to prove that you're a certain age or something like that. So you might upload your passport image or something like that. That service was breached. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, you've got everybody's age, date of birth, house address, social security number in some cases. And the data breach itself is not really the point. It's what people do with it afterwards, isn't it? All of the, you know, the fake calls that they make to different services to try and, I don't know, cream money out of an account somewhere or other. I don't see it's going to change, Tim, unless you, you know, you get on your Spider-Man suit and get out there, swing through New York City and fix it all. Can you just do that for us? And
I think in the safe, obviously, it's not going to change, but at least people can start thinking about this and what data are you giving up? And obviously in the EU and the UK, we have quite strong data privacy laws. And quite often people see them as a barrier and complain about them. And then you really have to point to articles like this and go, are you sure you don't want people to be collecting all this data about you? Are you really sure? And so I really like it when the EFF publishes links. Articles like this and or does a similar one over here. It's valuable to just give people a bit of a jolt about what data do you share, how much we share accidentally, how much we don't even realize we share. And then next time somebody tells you, oh, think about block, you know, it's not a problem that Chrome no longer allows you to block ads and pop-ups and other JavaScript links. So it's not too much that you have to now, because of legislation, prove your identity to go on your favorite social media site because a country somewhere has decided that kids under the age of 13 shouldn't be allowed on it. These are all of these things now are having knock-on effects to your personal security and your livelihood and life, because if you are got by, if your entire identity is taken over, for some people, it's really difficult to recover from.
Oh boy, yeah, you hear some stories of things which you actually can't believe are true, where people's actual lives are ruined by something.
A lot of people watching, but a lot of people in this world will be living on credit. They will be living paycheck to paycheck, nipping into their overdrafts, nipping using their credit cards. So to suddenly have that wiped out because a bad actor has managed to destroy your credit rating, suddenly you can't move house. Yeah. Suddenly you can't get insurance. Suddenly you can't get a phone contract. And this can last for years and years. So it is really devastating. So even if you don't worried about, oh, I've got nothing to hide, my life is an open book, you still need to take basic precautions. And we'll eventually learn.
Yeah. So to sum up episode number 320 of This Week in WordPress, it's all cheery, isn't it? Everything's great. There's nothing weird going on at all. And by the way, this is a beautiful comment by Dave. Speaking of the what was that website called? I've forgotten already. The easing website. Put the cancel subscription action behind the moving button. Game changer. I love it.
I like that.
You're just about to get the button and you just woohoo! Off it goes. Chase the button around the website.
I'm a bit worried you're giving people ideas. There's already yeah, enough people
that's right.
struggled to cancel yeah. subscriptions.
Well, there we go. We've overrun. I apologize for that. And I thank Michelle Frechette. I thank Corey Mass. And I thank Tim Nash for... for staying the course, even though he made me sing. I'm ever going to get over that, in all honesty. I won't be showing this episode to my children, that's for sure. But we'll be back.
We will.
No. We'll be back next week. I'm not entirely remembering who's going to be on. But Michelle, Tim, and Corey, thank you so much for joining us. The other thing to say is thank you so much if you made a comment. There was loads of comments today and really appreciate it. Couldn't really keep up, but hopefully you understand that. And before we go, the final humiliating weird thing to do is to put up the hands. And
I'll make it really weird.
Oh, I love it when you do that. That's so good. There we go.
Got to get my fingers out of it.
Carry on. Okay. There we go.
Okay, we got on the wrong hands.
Off. Corey, I'm sorry. We're going to put you through it one more time. Here we go. Give us away. Thank you so much. We'll be back. If you three want to stick around for a quick chat at the end, we can do that. I will say thank you. Sayonara. We will see you next week for This Week in WordPress. Take it easy. Bye-bye.